You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 9th, 2020, the president continues to defend killing Soleimani as a self-defense principle. And our UN ambassador is delivering that message to the UN, where they are now going to start debating. Was the U.S. wrong? We're saying we took actions, quote, in the exercise of our inherent right of self-defense. The UN Security Council will be going over this. Dozens of countries expected to speak. And, of course, the situation in the Middle East will dominate the meeting. You'll have many anti-American countries lining up to condemn the U.S. in what has long been an anti-American arena anyway. Take note of this survey that's up. A new survey conducted Tuesday and Wednesday after our U.S. attack on Soleimani, but as Iran had launched missiles into Iraq. USA Today survey finding 4 in 10 Americans supported the killing of General Soleimani. 4 in 10. But many also think the U.S. is now less safe. See, I think they're buying the idea that, well, because we took out Soleimani, they're going to come after us all over again. They've been doing it anyway. They just do it in different styles and attacks. But that's all right. You go ahead and believe that. I think it's made us safer, and it made it clear, you touch us, you touch American personnel, civilians, targets, you'll get payback. And in fact, in the survey, 10% of Democrats believe killing Soleimani made the U.S. safer. Pentagon officials now say that the dozen missiles launched at 2 bases in Iraq housing U.S. forces were designed to kill Americans. We originally have the belief, as we saw the missiles and where they dropped it, they were trying to make sure they didn't kill Americans, but yet trying to get some attention. And now, according to the Pentagon, as they reviewed everything, they're convinced the intent was to kill personnel, and basically ended up being that, one, we had advance warning so we could move our personnel, and two, Iran couldn't do what it intended to. But we're continuing to beef up and be ready for whatever happens next. The U.S. Air Force sending 6 B-52 bombers out of their Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana to the Diego Garcia. That's about 2,300 miles south of Iran's southernmost tip. And Iran knows they're coming and are there. Senator Mike Lee, among those getting a briefing from the White House and Pentagon about the attack against Soleimani. And he was very upset when he came out. He was incensed. He said, I found it one of the worst and most inferior briefings I've ever had. And then he said, we were given the implication that somehow by debating or discussing the appropriateness of further military involvement would be making America less safe and giving aid to the enemy. He said, I find that insulting, demeaning. Listen, in this country, you're allowed to have your dissension, and you can continue to question and everything else. And yes, the enemy will use what it can. And if they see you causing a split and putting the president on a hot seat because you think he did wrong, yeah, they're going to look forward to it. But you go ahead and do that, Senator Lee. You and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi pushing her resolution to limit President Trump's power to lead the military in a confrontation with Iran, even though the confrontation is currently over. Go ahead and do that. But I do ask, at what point does dissent, and more specifically nowadays, hate for Donald Trump become not just a difference of opinion, but giving aid to the enemy? That plane that went down the other day, the Ukrainian passenger jet liner that took off from Tehran's international airport and suddenly went down. We were told the other day they believed it was mechanical. the Boeing 737 had something go wrong. That's what we were told. Now there's questions about, was it a missile strike? Some are saying a Russian missile strike. Some are saying Iran accidentally hit it with one of their weapons. Right now we know Iran has a black box and not releasing it to the manufacturer or Americans. Oh, take note of this. If you get a text on your phone that you're being drafted, it's false. The U.S. Army says we have no text going out telling citizens they're being drafted. It's just more nonsense in the midst of all the rest of the noise.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers had opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013. And they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash.
Remember how many times we brought that subject up? It was all part of the Obama-Iran deal that he wanted so much to have the legacy that he, Obama, got Iran to sign off on ceasing and halting nuclear production, which in fact, and weapons production, which in fact, they did not. They did not adhere by any of the constraints placed upon them by us or the UN. They continue to do what they want. And yes, we did release money. Now, a lot of folks want to twist it around. And they want to say, well, the money was theirs anyway. The only way you get to that point is that when they took over our embassy, remember that in 79, when they took our embassy and held Americans hostage for more than a year, we froze their assets everywhere. And so they're trying to claim that, well, it was their money anyway. And they were already in a world court, and the world court was going to rule that we had to release it. And the Obama administration took the attitude, well, if we're going to lose anyway, let's just go ahead and give it to them. Not only that, but also send money overnight in a plane to get freedom of some Americans being held hostage. In other words, paying for hostages, which we should have learned in this nation, gets you nowhere. And you cannot buy this kind of enemy with money. They will use it against you. But the very fear the Obama administration had that we were going to lose in the world court and we'd have to release the money anyway, let them get there and take it on. Let it happen. I said then, what do I care if we keep their money? They took our embassy, threatened Americans. I don't care if they ever got it back or not, and I would fight the world court to that extent. But the Obama administration attitude was, we're looking to make a deal. But you just heard Trump talk about again how the escalation with Iran started after they got $150 billion and then also $1.8 billion delivered overnight. Senator, previous Senator John Kerry, previous Secretary of State, previous White House runner himself, wants to jump to the front of the line with his response to Donald Trump.
It is an outright lie, by the President of the United States that they were given $150 billion. They were not. And the money that they did receive was their money, because they sued the United States of America and won in court, and they were being paid interest. So American citizens were paying interest every single day that was accruing, more and more billions of dollars that were going to go to Iran. We cut that short. We negotiated a deal that greatly reduced the amount of money that they were in fact supposed to receive under court order, and they would have received it eventually. And we transferred that to them, most of which they owed to other countries and other people in a massive debt that Iran had accrued. So the fact is that he has lied about that.
I have several points of contention with Kerry's remarks. When he said that most of that money Iran owed to other countries, debt they had built up to pay off other countries, do you think those other countries got that money? Do you think Iran took any of that money and paid off their debt? I really don't, or they did this very little. And again, when he insists that we were paying interest on this and we're going to have to pay even more and eventually they would get the money, you had to buy that lie. You had to buy the lie that eventually, based on a ruling from the world court, that we were going to have to pay the money anyway. I don't buy that. I don't buy that we would ever had to pay it. And I would have been more than content to fight it out. I don't care about what you want to tack on and say is interest. That's just pie in the sky, trying to make it look tougher. And then, of course, the Obama administration to make it look like we saved money. We actually saved you money. And you also heard the reference to the $1.8 billion delivered overnight on a plane to Iran. You don't want to question me. I mean, let me put it this way. You don't want to believe me on whether or not this is correct. Let me give you a source that some of you might buy into. I doubt this audience, but I'll give it to you anyway. CNN and NN did a fact-checking of Trump's remarks about the Obama payments. And they say Obama gave Iran the $150 billion. That's what Trump has said. And they insist again that's not quite accurate. Multiple countries involved, Iranian assets existed in banks, financial institutions across the world were unfrozen. That does not mean that those countries got it. It was still in Iran's name. And $150 billion could be and is considered the highest estimate. Some say, well, it might have only been $50 billion. Right, $50 billion, $70 billion, $150 billion. A little number here, a little number there, a little movement of the decimal, and you've actually got some real money, don't you? But aside from that, we were not going to have to pay that money unless we decided we would be willing to. So what if the world court decided you had to pay it? Big deal. That's like the UN trying to enforce their resolutions. They can pass them all day, put them in front of us, and they mean nothing because they will not enforce. Cannot enforce. And then also the remark that Obama gave Iran $1.8 billion in cash. Here's the statement from CNN's fact-finding group. This is roughly true. As part of a settlement, Obama transferred $1.7 billion in cash to Iran in 2016. The administration also used the money to pressure Iran to release several American prisoners. In other words, even CNN and NN acknowledges we bought the freedom of American hostages. We paid a ransom. And we also did it to just gain favor with Iran. It wasn't $1.8 billion, it's $1.7 billion. Oh, our bad. We dropped a decimal somewhere. The entire $1.7 billion given in two separate payments, $400 million and then $1.3 billion in cash. $400 million was shipped overnight in the dark of night to Iran in small denominations, various currencies that they could spread across the Middle East. But John Kerry says it's an outright lie that Iran was given $150 billion. He wants to quibble over the numbers. And do you remember Susan Rice, Obama's national security advisor, the one that was sent out on all the talk shows after the attack in Benghazi to go blame it all on that movie that was incensing Muslims and that they got so upset over that, that that's why they attacked our consulate, killed our ambassador and other Americans? You remember Susan Rice doing that? And of course, recently she came out with a book and tried to set the record straight. And even her mother apparently is quoted in the book or at some point said, I think they were trying to make you the fall guy. Well, here comes Susan Rice again, rushing into the fray as a previous Obama national security advisor, insisting that she knew better as to why and what was happening. Well, just listen to her.
In the years since the signing of the deal in 2015, up until President Trump's unilateral withdrawal, abandoning our allies against the advice of his advisors, there were no proxy attacks by Iranian proxies on U.S. personnel in Iraq. There were no efforts by Iran to attack our drones in the Persian Gulf or attack shipping. The nuclear program was under control. There were strict verification and inspections.
Really? There were specifications of the inspections and so forth, but they were not adhered to. Even members of the UN Energy Atomic Commission, which were supposed to be carrying out the inspections, acknowledged we're not getting the access we were told we would get. Part of it was because we can't just show up and do what we want when we want. We have to go and let them know in advance we're coming, and then they will tell us where we can and can't go. And if it's on a military base in Iran, we were not allowed to see it. But here's Susan Rice again. I want you to hear again the beginning part of that, because she's trying to say all of the most recent violence against us from Iran is because Donald Trump pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal.
In the years since the signing of the deal in 2015, up until President Trump's unilateral withdrawal, abandoning our allies against the advice of his advisors, there were no proxy attacks by Iranian proxies on U.S. personnel.
There were no proxy attacks by Iranian personnel, Iranian terrorists. Really? Let me switch to Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas and his reaction.
Is she forgetting about the over 600 deaths of American soldiers that were a result of Iranian-made IEDs? I mean, to say that this all started after Trump, and this is another misconception that the Democrats like to peddle, which is that history began with Donald Trump. History began with the killing of Soleimani. It did not begin with the killing of Soleimani. It began long before that, since 1979, actually. Since mm-hmm. Right as the Iran deal was being signed, they were humiliating our U.S. Navy sailors and boarding U.S. Navy vessels in the Gulf. Okay, and since then they've bombed oil tankers, bombed Saudi oil facilities, bombed our bases, and then attacked our embassy, and of course killed an American citizen. To say that they weren't the ones escalating out of desperation is to deny facts.
And that's what they want to do, is deny the facts. Dan Crenshaw, to help you know exactly who he is, as I said, he's a Texas 2nd Congressional District, former U.S. Navy SEAL, and he's the one that has the patch over the right eye for injuries sustained, and of course got mocked by members of the squad, and Ocasio-Cortez, they were making fun of him in the process. But what he just said was right to the point. They want you to believe everything goes back to what Donald Trump has done. And everything Obama did was perfect and made things and the world safer. If it made the world safer with the Obama deal, Iran would have let inspectors go anywhere they want in that country, and we would see massive infrastructure improvements in Iran to take their people out of the Stone Age. but they haven't, because they've been spending it upon nuclear weapon capability and also spreading money to create terrorist acts around the world. And Congressman Crenshaw says Iran is still a real danger.
The reality is that the JCPOA, the Iran deal, left us weaker. It left us with a situation where in 10 to 15 years, we'd have to find a way to renegotiate that deal against a much wealthier and more powerful Iran, and we would have zero leverage. You played a clip of Leon Panetta. He said something very important, which was that we have to negotiate from a position of strength, not weakness. Against the Obama administration, the Iranians knew that there were no red lines. Okay, there was no actual deterrence against the Obama administration. They knew that. The Iranians were negotiating from a position of strength.
That's right. And as long as we continue sending them money, they remain powerful, I should say, compared to having no ability. No, they knew what they were doing. And in fact, when you get down to it, as I had mentioned previously, Iran was playing chess while our representatives, Kerry, and the rest of the Obama team were still trying to figure out how to play checkers. There's no wonder whatsoever that we got totally taken. In fact, I want you to hear Crenshaw's remarks about how we got played by Iran in a moment.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I find it extremely disheartening, troubling, that so many on the left are so anxious to believe Iran and its leaders and Soleimani, who exists no more, over President Trump. They just willingly buy into the Iran story, mainly because of the hate for Donald Trump. I raised the issue from the beginning of this hour and the previous hour. At what point does dissension and disagreement and policy battles become unpatriotic and aiding the enemy? I think it is when you're simply accepting the other side because you hate Trump so much. And the Iran deal that Obama got us into, as I said a moment ago, it was a case at that point that we were trying to learn how to play checkers, and they were already playing chess. And in fact, Congressman Crenshaw makes a similar point.
The Iranians were negotiating from a position of strength for a couple of reasons. One, they're more patient. While the Obama administration needed that foreign policy win, and they were willing to give away way too much to get it. And once they got it, There was no containment strategy. There was no talk about the malign influence throughout the region. There was no talk about the ballistic missile program. You can't separate those things. Did they delay nuclear weapons? Yes, possibly. Although, you know, recent intelligence, especially from our Israeli partners, indicates that the Iranians were planning on cheating on that. But in any case, we were going to be left with a position in 10 to 15 years where we had no more leverage. And that's a very difficult position to be in. And at some point, we had to disrupt the escalation that the Iranians were engaging in and gain back that leverage, because they had no path towards normalizing and joining the global order at all.
And again, they would be strengthened in 10 to 15 years because we had no sanctions against them, and trying to put their economy in a vice. Why should they bother? Why should they try to negotiate at all? But Obama was more concerned about his legacy than the future of your children and grandchildren. There's increasing speculation that that plane crash in Iran, the Ukrainian jetliner that went down with 176 on board, originally we were told they were talking about it was a mechanical issue of some type. There's increasing speculation it was hit by a Russian missile. They have found various parts of it, not fired by Russia, but fired by Iran. It is possible that they took that aircraft at that point to be an incoming of some type weapon we had sent to them. We never fired a single shot at them. We did not even have a Patriot defense system in place to shoot down the rockets they were sending into Iraq. Gary had tweeted on Larry Connors USA, said, reviewing my data, it appears that Trump, as he refers to Trump, shot down the commercial jet in Iran thinking Iran was sending fighter jets. That's 175 lives, including babies. Well, I want you to keep that same attitude and then be incensed when you find out it was Iran. It may well have been a mistake that they thought that jetliner was something that we were dispatching to harm them. We'll see where the story goes.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So earlier I was discussing, and it's been a central theme throughout the last 2 hours, and that is, at what point does dissension and debate and differences with what the president is doing when we're facing a war-type action, at what point does that become basically giving aid to the enemy and unpatriotic? Yes, we are allowed to debate and argue it, and you don't always have to agree, and we should question. We're more than welcome to question. But what I've been watching from the left is basically a hate for Trump that surpasses the hate for Soleimani and the Iranian terrorist. Senator Bernie Sanders was one of the first to call the strike on Soleimani an assassination. Well, I've used the term as well, but I mean in the way that I'm happy with it. But here's what Sanders said. This guy, you know, talking about Soleimani, as bad as he was, an official of the Iranian government, and you unleash, then if China does that, you know if Russia does that, you know Russia has been implicated under Putin with assassinating dissidents. In other words, he's trying to say Putin killing dissidents in his own country, and we don't kill dissidents in this country. He wants to say Trump equates to Putin. Told you the other day that you had numerous liberal figures all lining up to condemn Trump, including, as if they mean and have any value, but I'll share it again, actress Rose McGowan tweeting that the message to Iran, Dear Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% of us humbly apologize. We want peace with your nation. We're being held hostage by a terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us. First thing I would do for Rose McGowan is she'd take it, buy her a ticket to Iran. Go forth. Go forth. See how you like it over there. But, of course, that's just an actress, Hollywood, who thinks that because she's been in movies, she has some value of what she says. Sanders is a White House future candidate, in his view, future president. And, of course, so is Democrat presidential primary candidate Joe Biden. And Joe Biden stepped up and criticized the president, said it was a haphazard decision to launch a drone attack that killed Soleimani. Flat out accused him of tweets, threats, and tantrums making Trump dangerously incompetent, incapable of world leadership. Again, another political figure trying to unseat Trump, and they had no problem in using such language, knowing that the mainstream media and the international media will pick it up and it will be seen all around the world. And I'm sure in Iran, as they watched Biden's remarks, they were laughing. They were laughing and thinking, well, we got him on our side and we got Bernie Sanders on our side. How many others in the Democrat category will fall over to us? Well, one of them would be Senator Elizabeth Warren. She put out a tweet, Soleimani was a murderer responsible for the deaths of thousands, including hundreds of Americans, but this reckless move escalates the situation with Iran. And within 24 hours, she put out another tweet, taking an entirely different tack on the killing of Soleimani. She stated, Donald Trump ripped up an Iran nuclear deal that was working. I just spent a lot of time on that at the beginning of this hour. If you missed it, go back to Larry Connors USA Facebook, pull up the podcast and hear it, because the way the Democrats interpret the Iran deal, everything was hokey-dokey and is all right, pie in the sky, until Trump came along, when in fact it was never a good deal, and it was basically the Obama administration buying Iran support by shipping money and getting them to hopefully agree to the deal, which would make Obama look special. But here we have Senator Warren saying Donald Trump ripped up an Iran nuclear deal that was working. He's repeatedly escalated tensions. Now he's assassinated a senior foreign military official. He's been marching toward war with Iran since his first days in office. So previously she acknowledged Soleimani was a killer, responsible for the deaths of thousands, including hundreds of Americans. But now we assassinated him, and she sees that as Trump trying to push us into war again. A Washington Post reporter was quoted as saying an unnamed Democrat in Congress suggested to him that unlike the U.S., I'm reading this and I'm thinking as soon as it comes out of my mouth, it's one of those things you think, how can they get that far bent out of shape? Well, it's because they hate Trump so much. Here's a statement. A Democrat in Congress said that unlike the U.S., Iran doesn't have a crazy leader. Iran doesn't have a crazy leader, but we do. That's what he's saying. A Washington Examiner columnist followed up, T. Beckett Adams. I want to make sure you get his name. He said, embracing the Ayatollah. Iran's leader murdered over 1,000 of his own people during peaceful protests last month, but yet you want to say he's still not Trump. Real Clear Investigations, Mark Hemingway's response. Quote of the day, aside from the fact that it's ridiculous for a member of Congress to have said this, since when has starting a war required crazy leaders on both sides? It's an idiotic formulation if you bother to think about it, rather than squeeze in at a swipe at Donald Trump. Which is what they're trying to do. The whole idea is, what else can we do to undo Donald Trump? And Democrats are so hell-bent on making him unelectable and finding other ways to call him names that now they've resorted to this, that they in turn accept the word of Iran and its leaders and would be more than happy that Soleimani was still alive. At the beginning of this 2 hours a day, I read a quote from a Purple Heart veteran who was wounded by one of those landmines placed by proxy agents of Soleimani. And he said, I'm glad this president got something done and took him out. I don't know where this is going to end up. I don't want all-out war with Iran, and I don't think Iran really does, and if so, it's not going to last long. The key then would be what other parties do, Russia and China. But when we had a chance to take out the guy that had ordered the murder of at least 600 U.S. troops, 6,000 attacks on U.S. and allied forces, hundreds upon hundreds injured, and he stepped across the line. He did what the U.N. Security Council told him not to do. Do not leave Iran. And he did, flying into Iraq. And they want us to believe that he was there on a peace mission. No, he was there to create more mayhem and destruction and to lead it. He is responsible for at least 600 American deaths by landmines, attacks, ambushes, things of this nature that he gave the go order on and had his proxy agents carry them out. So now we have the Iran State TV and the Iran Revolutionary Guard warning the U.S., you better not retaliate over that missile attack we launched the other night in Iraq. We did not fire back. We did not fire one shot back as those 15 missiles dropped into bases inside Iraq. No U.S. casualties and damage apparently slight. And President Trump said we're going to have a measured response, and he did not want to launch an attack upon Iran when they failed to even kill a U.S. citizen. All these leftists out there, they were waiting for him to push a button in response. He didn't do it. He did exactly what we should have done. A proportionate response is no response this time around. But if they want to continue to insist and persist, they'll be at the receiving end of one of our Tomahawk or cruise missiles. I won't be crying for them. Coming up, the art of feng shui, however you want to pronounce it, and how dogs might be following feng shui. What? Oh, yeah, they've got some kind of study that says they can prove that dogs do something that is pretty bizarre. I'll have it coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Earth has a magnetic field. that extends from the Earth's interior out into space, where it supposedly interacts with the solar wind, a stream of charged particles from the sun. Larry, you're pretty smart. No, it's just what I read. I'm just reading what I read here because I had no idea. Now, that supposedly explains why, if you have a compass and it goes to the north with the when you're trying to find north. I would make note of this, that as a pilot sometimes, if you had to rely on an actual compass in your plane, you had to make sure you made variations in it depending on where you were flying, where you originated, because the magnetic field in the north, the true north, might be off depending upon where you are when it came to latitude and longitude. But the whole idea of the magnetic field is kind of embraced to some extent by the Chinese Feng Shui. This is a system of laws governed to grant some kind of arrangement that would relate to the flow of energy. And you want positive energy in your home. For instance, you want to slow down the energy flow, they say, and keep the house clear of clutter. Good luck with that. Keep the path to the front door clear. Give reasons for a guest to pause when they visit. Balance the five elements. Remove negative symbolism. Maximize natural light. Rebalance workstations in the kitchen. All of this supposedly would make your life better for you. And in fact, when it comes to your bed, they say you should place your bed in a location where it's not directly in line with the door. The foot of the bed should not face the door. The head of your bed should be up against a wall, but not sharing a wall on either side with the bathroom or electronics on the other side. All of that would mess with the feng shui. There are groups that come in and set up an office and or a home to get the best feng shui reaction you can get, to make sure you have a powerful, positive force in your home or your business. And for them, it's not superstition. They consider it science. Others say, well, it may be more superstition, but just in case, let's make sure our beds are facing the right way. Same thing with the house, in building a house. Which way should the house face if you have an option? And if you buy a house that's facing the wrong way, you might have bad luck. Feng Shui indicates that your house can be anywhere from facing to the north to a southwest-facing house. In other words, all the way from zero to maybe 190 or 200 on the compass. Anything past that, you're going to have trouble. All of this leads us up to a new study in a book or journal titled Frontiers in Zoology, talking about how dogs, canines, use the Earth's magnetic field. And they studied 70 dogs, 37 different breeds, over 2 years. And what they saw happen indicated to them that the dogs are clearly picking up on feng shui, or Earth's magnetic field. How? Well, here we go. Over 2 years, they watched the dogs as they decided to relieve themselves. There were no walls, no constraints, as the dog couldn't turn or go a certain direction. They were free to go wherever they want, and they recorded something like almost 2,000 defecations, more than 5,500 urinations, and found that under calm magnetic field conditions, dogs preferred to align themselves with a north to south axis. They would not face east or west when they were relieving themselves. They might face south, they might face north, but not east, not west. And they do admit, we don't know why they're doing it, that we don't know if they're doing it consciously, if they perceive a magnetic field and the dogs either, quote, see, hear, or smell the compass direction, but for some reason that they think it's better if they stand facing north or south while relieving themselves. Now, if this is true, and like I said, they found this based upon study of 70 dogs over 2 years and 37 different breeds. If this is true, then Think of all the animals in the forest. You know, I and aside from domestic animals, of cows and sheep and goats. And are we talking about just four-legged animals or two-legged as well, with chickens and things of that nature come into play? But if we're looking at all the beasts in the forest, do they decide to align themselves north to south as they do their business? We don't have that information yet. No one's done that particular study. Oh, we do have an answer without doing all this particular study. We do have one answer when it comes to bears in the wild. And the answer is, and then bears in the woods, yes, they do. Which way? I'll leave that to you. But yes, bears do in the wood. So now that question's answered. Let everybody know we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.